Do you like to be the first? Name of your sex tape? Well, if you like to be the first to listen to podcasts, you might want to check out our Patreon, because now we're offering a brand new membership tier called Name of Your Sex Tape. I couldn't help it, guys. I'm sorry. For £5 a month, you'll get an ad-free version of our weekly episode on a Tuesday, a full day earlier than its usual release. So you can be the very first to talk about how funny our guest was, how quickly you cracked the case, or how badly I answered a question. Plus, you'll get all the benefits of our regular tier, including our live Zoom records, a special shout out on the podcast, and if you really like to hear us talk, we've got an entire back catalog of extra content. Check it out on patreon.com/drunkwomensolvingcrime.
Name of your sex tape. Name of your sex tape.
Name of your sex tape.
Fancy coming along to see Drunk Women Solving Crime live?
Ooh, yes, please.
Why not join us for our monthly London residency at the marvellous Museum of Comedy? We've got monthly shows through to June.
Plus, every show is a double header, so you get to see us record not one, but two episodes with two fantastic guests.
You can find tickets on our website, drunkwomensolvingcrime.com.
Shows are selling out fast, so be quick.
Noice.
Noice.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, we're the Drunk Women, and even though we're maverick detectives, we do play by the rules, and so we have all separately self-isolated for the foreseeable future. But this episode was recorded in a simpler time.
Yeah, it's a weird time, guys, and we're so gutted that we've had to cancel our live shows, but obviously it's the right decision. We hope that you're all keeping safe, and with the help of some young nephews, we've found some technology to keep going. So we're going to keep recording episodes remotely. They might sound a little bit more different, but we'll be no less drunk because we are now the Drunk Women drinking alone.
And in some personal news, this detective Buttstuff got herself engaged, everybody.
Yay!
The persistent hinting on podcasts worked. So if you've got a boyfriend and you think to yourself, I'd like to be engaged soon, start yourself a podcast and do not stop mentioning it. I'd also like to mention that, yeah, this episode was recorded a few weeks ago and I do go on about it. So I want you to all know it all ended very happily in Margate, where he proposed to me. And it's been an odd start to our engagement because we have self-isolated since. But I hope everyone's all right. And we're going to keep coming to you. So keep putting us in your ears.
Self-isolating.
Together.
Drunk women solving crime.
Drunk women.
Drunk women solving crime.
Drunk women.
Now it's time for drunk women solving crime.
This is Drunk Women Solving Crime. My name's Taylor Glenn, and I'm a writer and comedian. I'm joined by screenwriter Hannah George.
Hello.
As well as author and comedian Katie Wilkins.
Hello.
This is where beer meets breaking and entering, Prosecco meets perjury, and vodka meets vandalism. It's a true crime podcast with a twist of lime. Coming up on Drunk Women Solving Crime.
I love that the one mistake she made was to give a man a salad. That's why literally.
I made individual cheesecakes and then put some flavoured lubricant on my brother's one as a prank. He pranked me first.
25 years of accessing my uterus.
Sorry, I know we have to believe women now, but...
Now it's time for Drunk Women Solving Crime.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Drunk Women Solving Crime. I am thrilled to introduce our guest for this episode. I thought I'd go like BBC
Four. No, do it. I love it.
Very crime watch.
It's very respectful.
I'm excited to introduce our guest for this episode. It is the writer, director, and comedian, Charlie Dinkin.
Woo!
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. I can't keep that up.
No, please don't, because it was kind of creepy as well.
It got creepy. It got creepy. I just can't do it. Thank you so much for being here, Charlie.
Thank you for having me. What a pleasure.
Now, you know, the way that we always kick off the podcast is to ask, have you ever been the victim of a crime?
Yes, not many crimes, because I don't think I'm pretty enough, but horrible. That wasn't even meant to be a horrible one. yes, I was the victim of a crime, and I genuinely think this is a PSA, and I'm doing the work by telling people about it.
Ooh, okay.
So about 5 years ago, I was on like a short internal flight in the US, and when I first got on the plane, I had carry-on luggage and all the top...
That's a great film. Love.
Carry-on luggage on a plane. Very scary these days, escalating costs. I was just thinking
how shitty internal flights in the US.
Yeah, exactly. Already horrible.
The worst people.
And to tell you how bad it was like post SkyMall, not even a SkyMall. The one true joy of an internal flight. Do you guys know what SkyMall is?
I've heard it from like fancy American films. Like, what does it mean?
It's like the in-flight magazine or the in-flight like shopping magazine on an internal flight in the US, but it's not just like any shopping. It's just like crazy, wacky inventions. They're just like the maddest.
Everything
things.
Vibrates, but it goes on your head. Like there's just weird, like
really doesn't have to.
Garden sculptures of like a full-sized alligator, like a totem pole, just like real mad shit. The only good thing about an internal flight.
But ionic ear cleanser.
Exactly.
Yeah, it all has like pseudoscience.
I don't know if you can even buy it. I've never seen anyone buy anything from it. Is it just like, it's like a conceptual art piece? Simon.
Do you walk off the plane with a huge alligator?
They don't have all the stuff on the plane.
That's why there's nowhere for any luggage.
Like, no, I actually don't know how you buy the stuff, which is why I think no one buys it. But you definitely couldn't buy it on the plane.
Yeah, like, do you fill out an order form? They're like, that'll be 6 to 8 weeks.
Yeah, I think it'll be like one day when you least expect it.
this might be why it has crumbled.
Anyway, so I got on this plane and the overhead compartments were pretty full. So I had to go about 6 or 7 rows behind my seat to put my bag in the overhead compartment. And then this doesn't end like very badly for me. It's very low level crime. I feel like I'm doing a good job building it up. at the end of the flight, I was like, what I'm going to do is as soon as people stand up, I'm going to rush back to where my bag is, get my bag, come back through the plane and leave. Except I was in such a panic to get up and go that I left my iPad on my seat.
Oh.
And by the time I got back to my seat, someone had taken my iPad.
No.
Yeah, so it was someone who was sitting next to me for that whole flight.
Oh my God.
Yeah. It is bad, isn't
it? I'm genuinely shocked just because I had this thought the other day. I'm like, a plane is the last safe haven. Unless the plane crashes or there's terrorism. Just in the sense that, like, you can't steal on a plane because we're all there together. But holy shit. Like, so my jaw genuinely dropped.
Yeah, I was really horrified, actually. And I think it was a flight that got in at, like, 2 or 3 a.m. And I was really tired. And then I was, asking the, what's the politically correct term for air hostesses? Flight attendant.
Yeah.
The flight lady.
The flight.
That's it. That's it, Hannah.
The plane boys.
The plane boys.
Hey, flight bitch.
The wing women. I was asking them for help and they didn't care. And then I was like, well, I know I have to file a police report because I think I had some insurance. And then the police in the airport literally didn't want to hear about it either because I guess they have real things to worry about in airport security.
And this is the problem with guns.
Yeah.
They're busy with the guns.
Let's play a fun game called Who Was Sat Next to You?
Yeah.
Like, who was
well,
the person?
Yeah. That was exactly it. So then I tried to rush out to like spot the people who were sitting next to me.
Yeah, in the baggie. They're not home dry yet.
You don't pay
yet.
That much attention, like, do you, to the people next to you either? So
chat.
Wasn't sure.
I'm a big chatter on a plane.
You're a
I'm the worst.
Call the air police.
call That's the why they've got boys. Guns. This woman will not shut up. No, I'm not a big chatter, but I have chatted before.
Too close proximity. Can't do it. Because if I chat, then I have to like cheat my body out into the aisle so that I'm comfortable. No.
Oh, you don't want to be just talking real up close to people?
I can't. Oh, I get the... Anyway.
I was on a flight quite recently and a guy sat down. He was being chatty at the beginning and I was like, this is a bad sign. And then he would not stop talking throughout the entire flight. At one point, this is the wildest thing that's ever happened to me on a plane. He fell asleep very briefly, he was like mid-sentence, he fell asleep. And I was like, I'm gonna go to sleep. So I like tried to go to sleep. And then he was like hysterically laughing in bursts and waking me up and like really like, and then I'd look over. And then he was like, I just had the craziest dream and started telling me about his dream. I went and complained to the flight attendant about him. And they were like, there's no other seats, sorry. That's a crime. That's a true crime.
That's a crime.
Yeah, that one. I'd have given up my iPad in a second.
Yeah. So no leads. Somebody just got away. Oh my God, I'm so angry. You got robbed on a plane.
In such a confined environment. I think that's the thing that was really upsetting about it.
Less safe space.
And also, I genuinely thought you were going to have lost the suitcase, like the carry-on. I thought that's where that was going. That really twisted on me, that story.
Thank you. I am writing a novel about it.
Well, one of the things we always say is, if you had the perpetrator in the room, was it, do you know anything about them? Was it old? That just flew out of my mouth. Was it old?
Well, there was an old-ish man on one side of me, I think I remember. And then
he doesn't own an iPad.
It really could have been anyone. I mean, I think karma comes back to you, doesn't it? So,
what would you say to them if they were in the room right now?
Look, I, in my life, have never owned a gadget or a gizmo that hasn't had a screen that is cracked as shit. So good luck and enjoy. My insurance came through and I got a new one. Yay. So really, you did me a favor.
Oh, that's a really nice story now. Yeah. This novel is going to be incredible.
Thank you. Really uplifting at the end.
This is just a side detail, but where had you landed? What city did you fly into?
I think I flew from Chicago to New York.
Okay.
Okay. You're doing some profiling.
Oh, yeah. It's definitely Paul. Okay. Well, thank you so much for sharing that with us. Both of those things, in fact. Mm. So, as soon as somebody brings up airplanes, you start thinking of funny things that have happened. And I just remember I used to fall asleep really easily on planes before I grew a sense of mortality, and I like scream inside the whole time, but I used to just fall asleep before the plane even took off.
Those innocent days.
Yeah, and I remember like I didn't even notice I had nodded off, and I was I just heard words, and I was like, woke up, and I'm like, who said that? I said that. And I just realized that I had, like, I woke myself up talking, and the guy next to me was just like, oh.
I moved in with my boyfriend quite recently, like a couple of weeks ago. And then like the other day he was like, I'm really sad because you've stopped talking in your sleep. But I wasn't aware I was ever talking in my sleep.
You know what? That probably means you feel really secure and safe with him.
I hope so. But what was I saying? And why was he just letting it happen?
Get off me, boyfriend, you're horrible. Ah, I never want to move in with you. That sort of thing.
Yeah, exactly. He was like, thank goodness that stopped.
That's such a cute thing to miss.
Yeah.
Aww.
Who is it?
The midnight
chats. Now it's time for drunk women solving crime.
Guys, are we ready to solve some true crime?
Yes.
Yes, we are.
Yes.
Okay. This case is dark with a capital Deutschmark. I'm sure we'll find the right things to laugh at, and anything else we'll just edit out neatly. But also, I don't like to start by patting myself on the back, but I'm going to, guys, because one of my sources was in German. This is the first time I've had to translate.
What, did you translate it, or did you copy-paste it into Google?
Google did the heavy lifting, but I had to do that, and then, you know, everything's out of order, and you have to make sense of it, and, like, most of the, like, gender pronouns were all reversed. It was crazy. Okay, yay me. Okay. This is the case of Gesche Gottfried. I already made this joke on email to the girls. I'm going to do it again. How do you actually pronounce Gesche? Your Gesche is as good as mine.
Brilliant, brilliant. Yeah, we've started well. Oh,
that's solid.
Thank you. This is why I'm a partially employed writer. So Gesche Margaret Timm was born in the northwestern town of Bremen in Germany, along with her twin brother, Johann. She grew up fairly poor, and her mother was a seamstress. Her father was a tailor. So first question, very little information. What year was she born?
Ooh, a seamstress and a tailor.
Mm. Well, now, it sounds like the mother actually has a job,
mm-hmm.
which means it's got to be late 1800s, maybe early 1900s.
Okay. Okay.
I think it's 1910, because they could have done both of those jobs on the Titanic. it? I always like to guess around the time of the Titanic. So I think it was like Titanic time.
One of our early episodes, you're like, was it pre or post Titanic?
This is my only historical reference.
So we've got 1910.
That was actually the one. That was
you're going like 20th century, this morning.
1910.
Yeah, I like Titanic. Maybe. I listened to it this morning.
You're going earlier than Hannah.
I'll say 1860 at the earliest.
Okay.
But I'm prepared to be wrong.
Okay.
I'm going to say 2019, but it's like on Etsy.
Okay. Well, you're officially the closest, but not that close. Uh-oh. She was born in 1785.
Ooh. Ooh. Well, look at me with my non-facts.
What do you think Gesha's relationship with her parents was like? Let's just do a little bit of pre-profiling detectives.
So it's Germany.
It's Germany.
It's the...
Wait, 17 what?
She was born in 1785.
1785.
Mm-hmm.
And she has a twin brother, so maybe they were like... At that point, you wouldn't necessarily know you were having twins, would you? Because you haven't got a scan. So you'd be like, we think we're having one baby. Two, motherfucker.
I just realized how freaky that would be.
Yeah,
another one.
So either you have a boy and you're really excited and then there's a girl and you're like, oh. Or you have a girl and you're like, oh. And then you have a boy and you're like, it's not so bad. I think it depends on what order they were born.
Yeah. Charlie, you're really onto something there. Because
cannot be true.
It's absolutely true. Because
excellent.
They greatly favored Johann.
Oh, I mean, none of us are shocked.
And she was, according to some sources, aka the German ones that I had to translate by hand, she was severely neglected, according to some sources. I know, it's really awful. It's awful. Meanwhile, everybody loves Johann. Very little they do have. There are just anecdotes about, like, if they scrounge together a bit of money and they have a gift, they give it to Johann in front of her. It's almost like they're building her up to be a murderer or something.
Yeah, the cruelty is quite horrible.
I know. Now, when Gesha is...
Like, you've said that this is really dark, and we're like, oh, she didn't get presents. We're like, already like, really upset.
It was the 17-something, so they're probably rubbish presents, weren't they? Like a bobbin or something. Yeah,
it's definitely going to be made out of wood, and it's going to be whittled.
A block. Yeah. Who needs another block?
I just...
I'll get my own stick.
I just feel like we need to leave ourselves somewhere to go when this, this inevitably goes horrible.
Yeah.
Well, if you feel real bad for her, that might help later. I don't know. When Gesha is 21, her parents basically arrange a marriage for her. And there's a strange coincidence about her new husband. So any guesses what that coincidence might have been?
He's called Johann.
He was called Johann.
Hey! Oh, holy shit.
Was everyone called Johann?
Yeah. Now, you have a point. There's probably a lot, statistically, there's probably a lot of Johanns kicking around.
Stereotypes, 1700s Germany.
I know. But still, we like your brother more. Here's a husband for you.
But it's not the same Johann.
No, it's not the same.
Okay, good.
It's not the Isle of Wight. It's all right.
Phew. So Gesha marries Johann Miltenberg. Is it a happy marriage?
I mean,
it's sort of an arranged marriage in the sort of like early 18 something it'll be, won't it?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, it will be.
This is 18.
So good at maths, Hannah.
Yeah, 18 something, guys. Only because I don't know. No, she was 21, so it would be like 18.
Female workplace.
I don't know. I've got a feeling it might not be because some arranged marriages.
Did I? No,
maybe. Anyway. But some can work. But I feel like.
And it was more of a business too. Mm. It was like, I need access to your uterus. You need access to my money. Let's make a deal. I still have everything, but I get your uterus.
Did you write your own vows?
I use those. We get it printed on a card for Valentine's Day. Do you like living with me now?
years of accessing my uterus. no, not a happy marriage. I feel like there's only ever one answer to this on this podcast. Johann is a heavy drinker who spends all of his time in pubs and brothels. On the other hand, he's fairly wealthy. He's a master saddler. I just wanted to say that out loud. Master saddler.
Oh, yeah, a lot of money in that. A lot of money.
Well, I wondered that, and then it turns out...
You need horses for everything.
You need horses. But isn't that interesting? Like, you get more money for that than being a seamstress or a tailor.
Oh, no, because if women are doing it, it's not paid well.
But even her dad. Anyway.
So did like the seamstress, I guess she made like little clothes for the horse. That would be quite cute. They're obsessed with horses back in the 1800s.
Are they horses? Is that this is a different twist? Is that the twist?
This is the whole twist. Johan the horse.
The whole time.
So he comes from money as well. So Gesha suddenly finds herself mingling with a different class. She's kind of mingling with the middle classes. She's meeting new people, and there's something significant about one of the people she meets during this marriage. What do you think?
He's also called Johan.
Yeah, she meets two people called Mum and Dad. It's everybody in her family. She's suddenly...
What do you mean? There's something significant about somebody she meets.
I don't know.
What like they're famous or they go on to have
they're
a big impact?
They're gonna have an important role in her life.
Does she maybe fall in love for realsies?
She does fall in love for realsies.
Aww.
Yeah.
Oh, is that right?
That's absolutely right. Cool. She meets.
I'm happy for her.
I embarrass myself with the horse clothes stuff.
When it comes,
blink.
When it comes to matters of the heart, Hannah George, don't quit. So while he's off in the pubs and brothels, she meets someone called Michael Gottfried, who becomes her second husband.
Oh. How does she get rid of the first? Oh,
what a good question.
I think I know.
She stays with Johan long enough to have three children. They're all very close in age. I wrote bish, bash, bosh. There was no reason to type that out or say it. But here
great
I
names
am.
Great names.
Bish, bash, bosh. They sound very German. Bosh especially. Yeah. Johan starts to become ill because of his drinking. And he's spending more and more of the family money, so things are getting very tense. What happens?
He falls down some stairs.
Oh, okay, good.
While he was drunk.
Okay.
But did he fall or was he pushed?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Sounds right. I believe it. Yeah, I don't know. I was going to be like, is it related to a horse? I'm really stuck on the horse thing. I'm going to be in the horse headspace now for the rest of this whole thing.
Horses can't go downstairs anyway. You never had a chance.
If you've seen John Wick 3, in John Wick 3, there's like people get killed by horses like kicking them. And it's all choreographed and it's incredible. So maybe a John Wick 3 thing happened.
I love this.
Cool.
I love that horses have become the theme. Yeah.
But also, I think like maybe she took out life insurance on him. Possibly.
Okay.
That seems to be a thing of female murder.
Early 1800s.
Oh, pre-planning. Mm-hmm. Yes, queen.
She does kill him. Different method. Okay. What do we think she does?
Well, poison if he's getting sick anyway, and you can make it look like alcohol.
Spot on. If there's one thing we've learned, there's a lot of... poisoning going on between spouses. So Gesha kills Johan in 1813. So she's 28 years old at this point. She poisons him with arsenic, but specifically with a substance known as mouse butter. And then it was written in German.
So
and
hipster.
It's just mouse butter. Like it's the same mouse butter.
And I didn't even know you could milk a mouse. I regretted it halfway through. Halfway through, I was like, this is a bad idea.
I actually feel like the way that your voice went made it work. Like, I loved it. So this was basically a butter infused with arsenic, and it was used to kill mice. So she began placing it in his food. Gesha's now free of an unhappy marriage. She can run off into the sunset with Michael. There's no need to kill anybody else. Right?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Oh, wrong. Who does she kill next?
Oh, not the kids. The horses? The kids.
The mice
the
for
new
the
husband.
Irony.
The husband. Have we said everyone yet?
Yeah, you pretty much said. Yeah, the short answer is
the parents.
Everybody. By 1815, 2 years later, she had poisoned and killed both of her parents and all of her children.
Wow.
In a 2-year period. It's horrific. So
Jesus.
With I know. So with that in mind.
Do you think it's because she was like making one dish? genuinely, it's like she's cooking for everyone in a big pot.
An accidental.
And she's like, I want the parents to go, but I don't have time to make separate meals for everyone.
An accidental poison batch cook.
Yeah. This is
great.
She's like, I'm not making them chicken nuggets. I'm growing up food for
she'd
us.
She'd warned them not to eat it. Yeah. And they didn't listen to her for the fifth time.
All I can think about as well is like, is that moment in the Addams Family where Debbie's there and she didn't get, I wanted Malibu Barbie, but I didn't get, and it's all about the present. It comes back to not getting the present when you were a kid.
Indeed.
So buy your kids fucking anything they want is what I'm saying, if you don't want them to be murderers.
If you
want to
survive their adulthood.
Yeah, because she tries to kill the whole family because she didn't get the present.
Yeah. So here, she's a widow. She's killed her parents. She's killed all three of her children. How do the townspeople respond?
Wait, she's still got the new hot husband.
She's still got Michael.
Okay.
Yeah.
Does she have any more kids with him?
We'll get to that.
Oh, God. Okay. Well, do they, I mean, are they suspicious? Because people died all the time in the olden days.
Yeah, and children died all the time.
Were they like, oh my God, she's achieved so much under 30? Yeah. Because like, she is 28 right now. And that's
incredible.
In a
sense, yes. What? They admired the stoicism of this grief-stricken...
Okay.
How German is that? Like, we like how she doesn't feel.
Yeah, does this.
But they didn't know that she'd murdered them, right?
No.
So they feel sorry for her and they're like impressed she's not crying all the time.
I mean, yeah, and it's so telling of the time for so many reasons. Like, it's great if a woman doesn't show her emotions, yay. So many people are dying that we don't suspect... six people dying in a three-year period.
Yeah.
And why would you suspect anything about that? Anyway, so yeah, she's getting... They're lavishing her with gifts to show their condolences. She's getting...
Finally!
Well, right? Yeah. So she's getting a lot of attention. Meanwhile, she takes comfort in the arms of Michael Gottfried. Now, in 1816, we'll get back to Michael. In 1816, somebody shows up on her doorstep.
Oh, God. Johann the brother.
Johann the brother.
I forgot about Johann the brother.
Isn't that amazing? That's what I wanted. he was a soldier, so he had been off soldiering. I don't know what was going on.
Doing something less dangerous than hanging out with his own son.
Exactly. And not only does he return, but he's returned because of the news of their parents, and he basically wants a piece of the pie. He's like, hey, I want split up the estate, but also
sweet
you.
Taylor money.
He wanted the money that Johann's family had. He basically felt he had a right.
As a male heir kind of deal.
Yeah.
What?
Like, yeah, he's Johann, I'm Johann, give Johann money.
Wow.
Yeah.
I know.
Head of the family now that there's no... guy.
Oh, that's
but wait, she's got a new
husband
though.
I know.
She doesn't have a husband just yet.
Oh, she's not married.
Yeah, sorry. I've sort of popped it in that she met Michael and he's kind of over here waiting and they're probably in a relationship. They're not married yet. Yeah.
So this guy's come back for the funeral and to get all the money.
Yeah, and she's got no official
legal recourse.
Yeah. So what happens?
Oh, well, she got to kill him.
If she marries Michael, does he then become like head of the family?
Ooh, that's a really good question. I don't know. But no, she kills her brother.
All right.
It was hard to write out this case because I'm like, there's a pattern.
With the butter? Does she give him the butter?
She serves
Welcome
him...
back, have some toast.
Yeah. Yeah, she serves him a plate of haddock covered in mouse butter. And he dies. What's interesting about... the different deaths too is she kind of changes the dosage depending on who it is. Like there are people that she strings out and then with her brother she just like hit him with a huge amount. Like I think as a chef I really like to cook. I think that's why you choose haddock because it's a strong flavored fish and you'd want butter on
it. Don't you think this mouse butter must have been delicious?
I started salivating just reading about the case. Like,
starting to sound really good to me.
Because no one noticed. So they must have been like, yum, 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 mouse butter.
Yeah. I think it was, well, it's pretty
why
effective.
Why was she stringing some of them out so it looked like a protracted illness?
Yeah, and we'll get to one of those.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Do you know once I made individual cheesecakes and then put some flavored lubricant on my brother's one as a prank? He pranked me first. I'm trying to draw some personal parallels to this case. And when he found out about it, he was like, that was a horrible thing that you did. But actually at the time, he was like, this is delicious. So it was a victimless crime.
What flavor was it?
Passion fruit.
Oh, well, yeah. I would eat that right now.
Exactly.
Even if you told me what it was.
What did he do to you?
Oh, it was just like a very long-winded psychological prank. And then we like had a truce at the end.
Oh, God.
Yeah. I love that yours was lube on a cake.
Yeah. His was like him like calling in the middle of the day. He was like, please don't ask any questions, but like, I really need you to like go down to the basement of the building. And like, there's a key. I'm telling you anyway, but there's a key under the coffee table. I need you to go down to the basement and unlock a locker and take something out and just put it in a bin. And please just like, don't ask me any questions. Can you please just do this thing for me?
God.
Can you just feel around under the coffee table? Just feel around. And then I was like, okay. And then I was like, feel
like
around.
He had committed a crime.
Yeah, yeah. And then he was like, psych.
Wow.
Yeah, it's such a like low level but malicious
he
one,
deserved that lube
and he enjoyed it. So what I'm saying is mouse butter and flavored lubricant are delicious.
And also, so now, do not fuck with you.
yeah.
Now Michael Gottfried didn't actually want to marry Gesche, so they're in a relationship.
Wait, but why?
Oh, Ben.
I know, the source said because she had become a little scary to him. But he does marry her in the end. Why?
She threatens to kill his whole family?
It's a very, very good guess. And that may have happened as well.
Okay.
Who knows?
Did she like continually drop fucking hints, Toby? And she's laughing, but you know.
It's going to be such a shame when you guys finally get married and we can't keep making these jokes.
I'm going to say no. That's the fun part. And like, it's a really funny ongoing joke in the podcast. So,
drag it out. Drag it out a little bit. Any other guesses?
He thought he could change her.
It's something to do with wanting her money. No, is that the boring answer?
Ooh, she's got the estate now. The brother's dead.
She gets pregnant.
Of course. The classic.
Oh my God.
I respect it.
Honey, are you writing something down, Hannah?
So they get married. She loses the baby, which...
Oh,
for once is kind of a relief though, guys, right?
But also, like, was she even pregnant? Sorry, I know we have to believe women now, but I'm so joking, don't at me.
No, very good point. So Gesche begins poisoning Michael. But this is a slow... She drags this one out.
Is it like just cholesterol? Is that what it is?
She wants
your good cholesterol.
She kills him over a period of 50 or 60 years by just grinding him down with criticism and waiting till he gets old.
She wants to control
him. That's not how Johan did it. Yeah. Not the brother, guys. It's fine. Katie always takes off her jumper during episodes. It's always this like...
It's getting serious.
I got so flushed with all the murder.
She makes a real show of it this time. You know, he's on his deathbed and she's nursing him back to health. What did the townspeople think at this point?
Starting to think she's the angel of death, are they? Or
what's funny you should say angel. No, they still think she's a saint and she gets nicknamed the Angel of Bremen.
Jesus.
And not even ironically.
Oh, because everyone around her is dying, but she's still so caring and kind.
Wow.
Yeah.
They needed a Jonathan Creek in their village, didn't they? Yeah. Like just
My
one
God.
Person.
They needed
a Johan Creek. If you will.
I love that.
No, it's so weird about stereotypes. like, they're like, women are caring. You're not allowed to have anything, but you're really caring. You have to work so hard to disprove that you're caring.
Yeah, that's won't anyone recognize me as the murderer that I am?
Yeah. No, it's crazy. It's crazy. Wow.
I mean, talk about positive discrimination.
Yeah. So Michael dies, and for a little while, Gesha stops killing people. Well done, girl.
Because there's no one left to kill.
Well, yeah. There's a question of why did she stop? Because there was one.
There's no one to get even with now.
There was one particular reason she stopped killing. Why was that?
She ran out of mouth.
She literally ran out of mouth.
Oh, wow.
Now, mother had purchased this jar of mouse butter, so she gets to the end of it after she's...
Oh, it's one jar? Michael,
it's one jar this whole time. I know, there's something like, it's almost beautiful.
I was going to say, how did butter last that long in the olden days? But I guess the preservatives from the arsenic would have...
Yeah.
Well, and I don't know if it was literally
not actual butter,
dairy butter. If it's, okay. It's probably they wouldn't kind waste of oil. Butter on
oh,
it.
Oh, so she's using like a tiny amount in the recipe. If it's lasting that long, she's not using like a ton of it, whatever it is.
So it's like a seasoning kind of thing.
Yeah. Okay. What's the recipe?
We'll put up a link.
That was just really sad to me because it's like, oh, her mother gave her one gift. And it was poison. It's kind of crazy. Shit. Yeah. So 4 years passed, but suddenly Gresha's having money trouble. So she starts renting out rooms in her house. And at the same time, she sees an ad for mouse butter in a newspaper. And she sends her maid to go and buy some. And around the same time, she meets another feller named Paul Zimmerman. Does she poison Paul?
Yes.
Why do I keep asking? According to her own testimony, because the mouse butter was new, she tested out the strength of it on Paul by just like gently scraping it onto biscuits.
Oh, wow.
Biscuits.
And how did Paul do with these biscuits?
He dies. She inherits his money. So,
wow.
At how this did she point, get his money? They weren't married.
No, they weren't married.
How did she wangle that one?
That's a good question. Maybe she did marry him and I missed that detail because she must have been married to him because how else would she get it? But at this point in the case, speculation, what do you think her motive is?
Killing's addictive. I guess.
It does feel quite motiveless other than for like the joy of the kill, doesn't it? A little bit.
Yeah.
But
she got the bloodlust.
The money. She needs money, but then she's renting rooms out.
Well, those are the two things. It's sort of like, oh, you're enjoying this, but there's also financial issues at a lot of the turns, except at the beginning where it feels like she just like eliminated her family.
Well, that
she's
felt like
I'm gonna erase this chapter
was
of my life.
Vengeance more than...
But also, was it a kind of, I'm in love with this new guy now, so I need to get rid of everything from before?
Yeah.
Was it kind of like
At this point, it's this this thing of the attention from the townspeople.
Yes, of course.
So we come to the speculation of, did she have Munchausen's by proxy?
Yeah.
Which, of course, is a very... fascinating disorder where someone poisons someone for the attention that they get.
Yeah.
I think I know that from an Eminem song. I was like, why do I know that? And I feel like it's...
That sounds like an Eminem song.
Yeah. Wait, it's mentioned in an Eminem song about his mom, I think.
Yeah. And he's fast, like fantasizing about doing it to a woman, probably. Eminem. He's a scoundrel. Anyway. Yeah, and what's interesting is all these different sources. Like, if you go on Wikipedia, they're like, she definitely had Munchausen by proxy, and lots of female serial killers do. But then you go to another one, and they're like, actually, you know, some people thought that it was more financially motivated, but then she got addicted, and there was a bit of, like, the bloodlust in there. So there's just a lot of questions
I mean, she definitely had a paucity of attention as a child.
Mm.
So she might be trying to make up for that.
It has to be partially
the
attention. So what happens next? I'm just gonna go into this rather than asking that question because it's probably gonna be the same thing, right? Whatever her motive, she's this like brief period and then she just goes crazy and she starts poisoning indiscriminately.
Oh wow!
Anyone in the vicinity, so she kills.
What prompted that? Did something happen?
Not that I know from what I read. That's a good question. Like, did something jolt her back into it? I don't know.
Oh my God, if stand-up had been invented back then, she could have just become a stand-up for attention.
Oh my gosh.
I know.
And all these people would have lived.
Amazing. let's write her routine later, shall we?
She what comes, is the deal?
So you
with
know,
mouse butter.
When your twin gets everything. Am I right?
So she kills her neighbor. Guys, what's his name? Say it with me.
Johan!
Come on, Germany. Get yes, some more names.
I know.
How's she killing him? She's like inviting him in for tea, or she's like sending over a cake, or what?
I think so. I think she's having people over, and she sort of has this almost boarding house now. So I think she's like socializing, list just starts to grow. She kills a music teacher. She kills her maid. She sells her house, because again, financial difficulty.
What is she spending the money on?
Mouse butter. No, I mean, just living, because she's not working. She sells her
I'm
house.
Sorry, is killing people not a full-time job to you?
Yeah, you come home from work.
I take that back. I'm sorry. You don't see what I do every day.
I'm baking, and no one respects me.
A woman stopped killing for one day and made this YouTube video for her husband. Look at all the people who are still alive, huh? Okay. She sells her house, but she stays in the house. She moves in with the
That's
family.
A really great deal for whoever bought that house.
Yeah, I don't know if this is like a thing. She was known as like the auntie, and I think she sort of acted like the housekeeper, and she's all fun. So she kills the mother and the kid.
No! Oh, that's like a really premeditated scheme, surely. That's so amazing to sell it and stay.
Oh, gosh, yeah. This is all... But that she was charismatic enough to talk her way into that, like... So enjoy that, like, hand the keys and, like, guess who's staying? Old Gesha. You know I bake. Jesus. So she runs off and kills an old family acquaintance who she owes money to. She returns and then she's slowly poisoning the dad in the house that she sold, who's just lost his wife and his child.
Fucking
now this,
hell.
I know. This father, Mr. Rumpf, no need to laugh at that.
We're not going to. It's serious. No.
Mr. Rumpf. He gets suspicious. Somebody gets suspicious.
Oh, finally.
Well
Why?
Done, Mr.
Why?
Rumpf.
Why does he
Because he
suspicious?
Doesn't like biscuits, but she keeps being like, have a biscuit. Please have a biscuit.
Well, he spots a whitish granular substance on a salad, much like your brother did not do with the cheesecake. So what does he do?
Gives it to a mouse.
Well, it's not a bad idea. Yeah.
It's not a test bad idea.
Did you have a look around the house as a hunt around?
Mm, it's a good guess. He does not.
Does he take it to a friend that would know arsenic? Mm.
Yeah, his science friend.
Yeah, the old science friend.
Everyone's got to have a science friend.
Well, you're my science friend, Katie. So.
That is his next move. Before he does that, he actually confronts Gesha.
Oh, dumb idea.
Well, he doesn't know how many people she's killed.
Oh, come on, get your evidence.
He's like, this woman's made one bad salad and I'm going to really tell her off.
Well, this is, in a darkly comedic way, this is my favorite part. Does she confess?
Yes.
Yes.
She doesn't.
It's too late now to look.
That would be funny.
Oh, yes.
That would be really
genuinely was going to say no.
She,
I'm not just saying it because it was the right answer.
She doesn't confess. She says no. And then
and
she gives him ham.
So she just changes the food.
She just brings more food. She's like, ham? Tries to do it. So then he tells his suspicion. It's so funny how long it takes anyone to go to the police, which makes me wonder, like, what's the culture back then? Like, would you distrust the police or do you wait till things are so bad? Like, don't bother us, we're the police. It's really interesting. So he goes to the neighbor, the one who's not dead. And this guy basically says, like, oh, yeah, don't eat anything Gesha makes. Ugh. So everyone's starting to get suspicious. So then he goes to not the police, but his doctor. So back to what Hannah was saying. Was the doctor aware of the deaths surrounding Gesha?
The science friend.
Science friend.
I mean, if he's not aware of them, he's kind of a dick.
I guess in a town like that, there'd only be maybe be one doctor. So, I mean, he's either in on it, whereby he's kind of like ignoring some very sort of arsenic-y signs.
Yeah.
Ooh. He is absolutely aware of it because he had treated several of her victims, but apparently suspected nothing. Although, interesting, could he have been in on it? I want to bloop that in too. Was she having a relationship with him?
What's his name? That's what it depends on.
Yo-Nan. So Mr. Rumpf brings in the ham. Mr. Rumpf brings in the ham for analysis, and they finally conclude that girl has poison.
Yeah.
It was all leading up to that.
He's like, yes, I'd love this ham. I'm just going to eat it outside.
Yes, I'll enjoy it later.
Yeah. I almost imagine a Homer Simpson moment, though, where he just eats it anyway. You know, yeah.
Oh, shit.
Again, like your brother. Just kidding. Yeah. He didn't know, yeah. But I feel like he would have kept going if he told him, because he was enjoying it. Gesha is finally arrested in 1828 after killing a suspected 15 people.
Wow.
In total, and there's not a whole lot of due process on this case. She's locked in a cell in the town hall. How long do we think she's there before she's sentenced?
2 weeks.
Ooh, I feel like if you ask the question, it might be something like 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely ages.
Charlie is correct. Very close. She was there for 3 years.
What?
Now, the reason we even know so much about this case is because during this time, she's interviewed almost daily about her life what has happened by a guy called Senator Drost.
Okay.
He becomes obsessed with her and wants to know the details. And at first, she appears genuinely frightened and very vulnerable, but she eventually starts opening up. He believes very honestly, and they become sort of unlikely friends, which is sort of sweet.
It's like Silence of the Lambs.
Oh my God, I literally put that. Silence of the Lambs. Oh my gender God. Gender reversal.
Pitch it, pitch it.
Yeah.
Hello, Gesha.
Who was that? Like, literally, what character was that even?
I don't know, but I would watch them.
Hi. I'm Clarice Starling.
Okay. She's finally sentenced. What is the sentence?
I mean, I want to say death by the hanging or guillotine. But...
I think death, but she fakes another pregnancy, if we think that's what she did the first time.
Because that's got to be like 60 now, though, or 55.
It's a deep fake.
That's a good question. How old is she? No, she's not that old. She's
born in 1785, and now it's 1828. 50s, late 50s?
That's impossible.
What's 15 plus 28?
Come on. That's impossible.
43? Yeah. 43.
Oh, she's younger than I thought. I take it back.
Yeah, no, but she's old for the time, isn't she?
Yes. Mm. So, yeah, the sentence is beheading. And actually, hers was the last public beheading in Bremen.
I bet that drew a crowd.
It did. Thousands. Whoa. Thousands of people came to watch the execution. Before the beheading, Senator Drost was there, and he takes a wooden stick from the table. I guess this was tradition. He breaks it and says, "The stick is broken. The verdict is spoken. Woman, you must die."
Ooh, whoa. That's a bit flamboyant, isn't it?
Why does that rhyme in English?
Yeah.
That's my main question.
Yeah. Anyway.
Because Mausebooter, the words are all the same. We've borrowed heavily. Okay. She's offered one last glass of wine, which was also tradition. You got a last glass of wine. And apparently...
Take the edge off.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, man, I would chug that down.
Yeah. I'd take, like, ages with it. I'd be like, I just like to kind done. Of smell it.
Swirl it.
Shame to waste a good vintage.
Say what kind of bouquet it has.
So full of adrenaline because I'm about to die. I'm not even getting drunk.
This is just rubbish.
Oh, boy. She apparently took a little sip and then shook all the judges' hands and offered them a sip.
Oh, my God. Play until the end.
Theater of that.
I know, like evil Aaron Brockovich.
Did she cater this, this hanging?
You like those sandwiches?
I love that the one mistake she made was to give a man a salad. That's like literally, that was her fucking
that
downfall.
That was her downfall.
Everything else, they were like, we'll let it slide. And then he was like, I don't think so.
Yeah.
Why is there something nice and creamy on this? Seriously, have you seen a German salad? That means like mayo. It's mayo. Oh, yes. It's mayo based. It's hard to know how to finish this case because it's just sort of a sad one. Here's to giving your children attention and to the town of Bremen, a place I'll probably never visit.
Sounds lovely, right?
Drunk women solving crime.
So finally, we're going to solve a crime from a listener who has written in. This is from Brooke on email. I've edited some of this out, but it's quite a good story. I wanted to keep some of the detail. In 2011, I received a late property tax bill for a 2010 Lexus amounting to $1,200. I called the county confused because I do not own a Lexus. I was told, you guys, Lexus.
It's
you
a car.
It's a car. Sorry to be patronizing.
No, always check. Always check.
I was told that the bill would need to be paid in the next month or a lien would be placed on my paycheck. After telling the clerk that there's been some mistake, she tells me to call the Department of Motor Vehicles, where I am informed that there are two additional Lexus cars registered in my name other counties. Over and over, I state that I've never owned a Lexus. An FBI investigator was sent to where I live to check out my story. And after weeks of the FBI agent randomly showing up at my house and my workplace, I am a teacher.
Oh my God, do they keep like showing up just in case she's got a Lexus? Like, what are they looking for?
Like, go to who's driving the fucking Lexus. Come on, there's an easier way of solving this.
That sucks. As a teacher, like, just a guy in a suit shows up. Oh, that'd be dead cool, wouldn't it?
Oh,
like,
my God.
Shouldn't you be like, if anyone misbehaves, he's here for you.
I'm finally let in on the full investigation. Now, she gives more detail, but I'm going to throw it out to you guys. Do you want to speculate on how this has happened?
Well, it's identity theft, isn't it? Someone's got her address and stuff, and it's like the credit card fraud and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
She bought another car from that place, and then someone is an inside job.
Or an ex-boyfriend is trying to take out.
I mean,
why would anyone buy three of the same car?
Would it just be like, how long, like, do they not want to take the fraud car across state lines or whatever? Ooh. So every time they got to another state, they were like, well, I'll just get a new one. And that was, and they just liked the way the Lexus drove.
It is a good car. If I was going to steal a car, I'd steal a Lexus.
It's a hell of a ride. It's a hell of a ride. So a bit more. It turns out someone had purchased three Lexus cars in my name, paying $50,000 cash for each car. They were able to register the cars under my name via a Dropbox that had a copy of a license that I lost back in 2008.
Wow. Oh, so they paid the 50 grand?
Yeah.
Okay, but yeah, it was but in it's her
registered.
Name.
Yeah,
okay.
So she owes tax on it. The FBI agent informed me that they had traced these cars to the Dominican Republic, where they'd been sent with drugs hidden in the doors.
This is the coolest crime we've ever had.
I know.
And Hannah guessed it. About the lines and state lines and stuff.
Oh, was that in there?
Well, no. But I mean, like, why wouldn't you want to cross state lines?
Because
sorry,
of the
once you said that, I thought of drugs. Maybe it doesn't completely work. Continue, Taylor.
I think I'm pretty sure I was right.
It's a very expensive way to transport drugs, isn't it?
Yeah,
like a fancy drug car. But maybe you want to be in a fancy car because it looks like
no one wants to ruin your day if you're a Mr. Rich in a Lexus.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Anyway. You can't drive to the Dominican Republic, guys. You know.
But they put it in the
we're really stuck on the Lexus thing.
I don't want to be patronizing.
I'm just thinking about driving a Lexus.
Was they put it in a boat? How do you do it then?
Yeah, it would
They'll have smuggled it across and then put it in these car doors.
Oh, they were like shipping the cars as if they were just being like shipped. They weren't being like, right. Oh,
yeah. Okay. Yeah, so it's actually like, it's pretty clever.
Yeah.
Anyway. But I guess it's not because they traced it.
The value of the drugs then was so much higher than the value of a Lexus.
Yeah.
How much drugs totally.
And also, why didn't they just pay tax? They can afford it.
Well, that's true as well, isn't it?
Why? Like, she's a loose end if they don't pay her tax.
But they're not connected to it, so it doesn't matter.
No, but like, she's in, like, if they don't pay her tax and she gets stumped for it, she's then reporting this crime.
They might not have known that the US has draconian tax laws where you get taxed twice on your fucking car.
Yeah.
Fair enough. No big deal. No. Anyway, maybe they do that everywhere. I hope they don't do that here because we don't pay it. So because I teach in the inner city, he was convinced that I was in on the whole drug scheme.
Shit.
Oh, nice one. The visits from this FBI agent lasted for about 6 months. To this day, I've never learned who purchased the cars in my name.
But they closed the case, though. They proved her innocence.
Yeah, it sounds like she's fine. Okay. But I don't know what happened.
That's
that could be ongoing. Yeah. They could still, like, that case could still be open and they're chasing them. Who knows?
Wow.
Just kidding, Amanda. It's fine. You don't have to cut it out. There's no lie. Anyway.
Wow. That's mad.
It's a great story.
Yeah. Do you know what I mean? I've got a story about a car. It's not very interesting, but here goes. So, I did a why this is suddenly coming to my mind, because it's about something hidden in a car. But what it was is I had a, do you ever have a spud gun as a kid?
Yeah. Love a spud gun.
Get yourself a potato, stick your spud gun
in it. Oh, it literally is a potato.
Yes.
Yeah. Wait, what?
No, so you have, it's a little metal gun thing, and you stick it into a potato, pull it out, and then you can spray a little bit of potato.
Like the bullets are a nugget of potato, and you get it by like sticking the, like you would with like, if you were taking an eye out of a potato, you'd do it with your gun.
Yeah.
So and then the pellet is potato.
Oh my God. Every day.
It's a school day.
No, it just confirms that this is where I'm meant to live. That is fucking adorable. Spud gun. Okay.
So I have the spud gun and I'm playing with it. And then I put the potato on the floor of my mum's car because I think I probably wasn't supposed to have a spud gun. And then it falls behind the seat, the passenger seat. And mum's cars were kind of like crap back in the day and it was damp. The potato sprouted sprouted like its leaves and its stuff all over the seat. And I kept seeing these little leaves and I was like, oh fuck, and I didn't say anything.
Oh wow.
I know, and it was so
like
long.
Jack and the Beanstalk.
I know, it was so long before like anyone noticed because we had such crap cars.
I love that you couldn't confess that you had a potato in the car. Like, no.
We've all been there. Got to keep that potato secret. Well, you didn't even just want to take it out. Great. You didn't want to just go and get it and take it out.
Oh, God, that's a great shout.
Yeah. So once you're a kid, you don't think through that second level of problem solving. You're just like, well, I guess this potato lives in this car forever now. Guess this potato owns the car.
It was such a good smell.
That's amazing. So, Brooke, I guess you knew that's where we were going to end things. thank you so much for writing in. And Charlie, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
The last thing to say is, what have you got going on? What would you like to plug and tell us about?
Please follow me on Twitter. I really do care about having lots of followers. In fact, it's the only thing I care about. And I'm at Charlie Dinkin. That's awesome. It. That's the plug. I'll put some stuff I'm doing on there.
Cool. Sounds good. Follow
that's just like a cliffhanger. If you want to know more.
Yeah, if you want to know more.
I like that. Follow me. I was waiting for the number to follow. I'm like, wow, what a clean handle you have.
Yeah. I go in there real early. I tweet a lot. You can mute me.
Oh, guys, it's been a fun ride. Thank you so much. It was like riding in a Lexus. All right. Thanks, guys.
Cheers, guys. Yay!
Cheers.
Yay. Like and subscribe. Drunk Women Solving Crime is produced by Amanda Redman with music by The Lion and the Wolf. You can follow us on Twitter at Drunk Women Pod and on Facebook and Instagram at Drunk Women Solving Crime. And please review us on Apple Podcasts. Also, if you've got a petty crime you want us to solve, then please write it in that review and we'll solve it. Thank you so much to Acast for hosting us and thank you for listening.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.